to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Oh, hey. What have I gone and done? It's the talk of the town. Everyone's asking me about it. I'm sure you've seen the posters. You might have seen the massive digital screen in town. But what you've seen is true. And it looks like there's going to be a play happening. And this play is called Pete Price is Dead. It's a comedy. It's scouse as you like. You can be singing and dancing in the aisles. And it's all on my head. So I know you want to know the ins and outs of it. There's so much I can't talk about it, but plenty that I can say. So who better to get in the studio with me for Ladies Liverpool this week is the one and only Mr. Pete Price. Find out what you need to know before you buy your tickets. We'll tell you exactly how you can get hold of the best seats in the house. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for the support you've been giving me so far. I'm a wreck over this. But find out what it's all about in this podcast this week. Also, I do need to mention it's October and it means that the podcast is in collaboration with the fantastic Scarefest. Now, this is in two parts, so be warned. You've got Scare Projects, The Candy Cavern, which is a full family daytime experience. You can get involved in that from the 26th of this month until the 3rd of November. But then there's a grown-up adults version called The Asylum. You need to book now. Tickets are selling fast. Head to scareprojects.com and you can use a bit of Ladies of Liverpool discount by using the code LOLPOOL. LOL pool, and you'll get a bit of dizzy courtesy of me. Now you can pay me back by also buying tickets to me play. Go on, I dare you. Get your tickets now. Head to the Royal Court for those. And tell everyone you know, Pete Price is dead.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So exciting times, nervous times. I'll be honest, starting to get a little tiny bit of a sweat on. Just a tiny bit, because something pretty amazing is going to happen where a lovely friend allows you to write a play where they are actually dead in it. So it's a comedy, it's going to be hysterical, and it's all about Mr. Pete Price dying behind a microphone. First of all, can I just say, Pete, explain to everyone that this isn't just something I plucked out the sky. You've spoken before about dying up the tower.
Well, I've died on stage as a comic several times as well. And I've died on stage in panto when I've done some hysterical things. But I want to ask you the first question.
Oh, go on then.
Where did the idea come from?
Well, you've spoken about dying. I'll be fuming if I don't die behind that microphone. I'd love to die behind the mic. So I've known that for years. How many years have we been mates, Pete?
Like, so that's where it
forever.
Came from.
So it came from you saying that passing comment.
So was it one day you went, what a great idea for a play.
Be hilarious. Well, the proper start of this was, I'm forgetting real, is that my dad gave up work about 12 months ago and he hasn't been well. He had a diagnosis that we're not allowed to talk about because he's obviously very positive and all that kind of stuff. My dad, and he'd go mad if I was talking about anything like this. So he was obviously not feeling great. So as a way to get my dad to come to mine and we'd have a little laugh, I said, look, I'm coming up with this play. Help me write it out. And he is the funniest person I know on two legs. So this little idea sprung up and I'd say, right, I've written a first scene. Come round, we'll have a coffee and give me a punchline to this scenario. And that's how it started. And then I think we were really drunk at Chester. No, Aintree Races. And I said to you, Pete, listen, I've got an idea for a play. And Pete does as usual where his face goes stone. So I didn't know whether it was going to go down like a lead balloon or you're going to love it. So it's this play where you die. So don't worry, you'll have no words, Lynn. So Pete stands in, he looks at me glazed over for a minute. And then to start my heart beating again, you went, I love it. And from then on, it just snowballed into meetings with the Royal Court and all this kind of stuff. And then, of course,
it's time to tell the truth. The only reason I agreed was you said no lines.
And you know what? He's not even messing. He's not even joking. Because many a times he's gone blank on stage with me.
But I've since found out the amount of actresses and actors that struggle with lines. Yeah. I honestly thought it was just me.
No.
Now, I'm not going to mention the show, but there's a programme on television right now.
Yeah.
And there's a very famous actress, and she, I found out, is using idiot boards in it. She really struggles with her lines and said, when I signed the contract, and I'll tell you off air who it is.
Okay.
But she has idiot boards. And then when you watch it, you can actually see her. It's fascinating.
Well, maybe I need to write that into the play then. Maybe for your few lines that you've got, we have someone standing there with cue boards. Yeah. That would be quite funny. So the play is signed off. It's happening at the Royal Court. And it's basically about saving Radio City and keeping our brilliant, mighty tower and our local radio station all under the illusion that it can only happen if the full lineup sign up and take the station forward. But in the first scene, our Pete dies. And if you've seen Weekend at Bernie's and all that kind of humour, that's how I'd sum it up. That's what I pitched it to you as, didn't I, Pete?
Well, you didn't quite pitch it like that. You've changed it a little bit. You said that it was because of me. Without me, the radio station, it was all about me.
Yeah,
but now it's all the presenters. It isn't just me. So the real story now, ladies and gentlemen, here, right now at this moment, is going out. What she doesn't know is that I haven't signed the contract yet.
Don't you dare. There's two things you can't do. Not sign the contract and die before the play. We'll fall out.
Well, I'll make a promise on here now. I will go to solicitors and I will sort out a contract that if I do die before the play, you can still use the play.
That'll do me, Pete. That'll do me.
Ladies of Liverpool.
You've got to do something exciting for the beginning of the play, as in we've got to have a launch, as in All in Black or a...
Can you imagine it?
There's so much you can do with it. I jokingly had a wobble. A few wobbles about
really, because I messaged you. I can tell you exactly where I was standing and everything. I was going in for Reiki and I phoned you and I said, I'll be honest, Pete, I'm writing this play and it's a comedy. But every time there's a mention of Pete Price being dead, I do go, oh, it does feel a little bit, it's a weird sentence to say Pete Price is dead. One, I think that's why people want to buy tickets just to see what actually goes on in the play. It's interesting. People are intrigued. But how does it make you feel now people are talking about it?
The worst thing was seeing the poster for the first time.
Really?
It's a beautiful poster, by the way. I think it's very funny. And congratulations to the Royal Court, the way they put it together. And it makes it realise that it is a comedy. Completely.
Well, describe it to people who haven't seen the poster.
Right, well, it's this fabulous-looking lady, because she is beautiful, in black, with a glass of champagne on my gravestone, with me popping my head round going, what's going on?
It's
and
funny.
On the gravestone it says, Pete Price is dead. And in the background is a lizard.
Yes.
Which made me roar with
people
laughter.
On social media spotting the lizard. Yeah, they're loving it.
Absolutely. But I did have a wobble when I saw it.
Why?
Just because I had a wobble when I did the series on my radio show of putting my own funeral together. It was surreal. And a lot of my listeners turned off, you know.
Did they?
On that. Oh, yeah, because it's a taboo subject.
I know.
And people said to me, aren't you tempting fate by saying Pete Price is dead?
Mm-hmm.
So all those superstitions have come in.
Yeah.
But I've said in my column in The Echo that you have the most wicked sense of humour, which if you don't know, you're going to see if you come and see the play in March.
Yeah, that's the thing on radio, especially these days. Radio now is so different than years ago. And, you know, 15 years ago when I first started in radio, there were so many things you could do that you just can't do now. Yeah. So now everything's red taped, isn't it? You can't offend anyone. You can't say anything that crosses the border. Everything comes out your mouth. And you'll know, Pete, as well as I do.
Oh.
You've got to second guess it. Will this be offensive to anyone? You know, there's all that. So to sit for me behind a laptop and have free rein and actually say things that make me laugh, that I know will make other people laugh, was a joy.
And you have got a wicked sense of humour.
I have got a naughty sense of humour.
Now tell me, how are you feeling writing it? I mean, you've put it together, you've got the two acts, but how do you feel? Tell us how you feel, because this gift of yours as a writer came out of the blue for me, but it's been a while, hasn't it?
Well, loads of plays I've done where, even down to the pantos and stuff, and you'll have seen it yourself, I go, why don't we change this to this and maybe this will work? And just those little scenes that you've altered when it comes to opening night and there's an audience there and you're thinking, I've picked this up now, that this would be really funny, what if it's not? Waiting for that laugh for a second feels like an hour. And that's just with one little tweak on someone else's script. But I started doing that more and more and more, to the point where producers and people were saying to me, have you ever thought of writing something yourself? And I hadn't, and as I say, just circumstance, just trying to keep me dad occupied after, you know, coming out of work and stuff. That's what made me go, well, come on, I'll have a go, I'll see how it works. And I sat down with Kevin at the Royal Court. He was the first person I pitched it to, because that was the dream location, wasn't it? The Royal Court, something like this. You just know
it's their type of play.
The audience is going to love it. They will love this kind of stuff. So I sat down and I'd literally only written what the story was going to be. No script, no scene one, no scene two. Just this is what act one's going to be and this is what act two is going to be. And he was barely laughing. And Kevin's not an easy guy to make laugh.
Not at all.
And at that point, I thought, I've got to go for this. Any doubts I've got, you've got to get rid of them, Leanne, because this could be a big mistake. You put yourself out there and it's terrifying. But also, this could be one of these moments in time where you think, this is good for you. This is something...
It could open a huge door.
That could open doors.
Look at Victoria Woods.
Yeah.
Look at some of the people that have been comedians and become... And you are a comedian.
Writers.
You know, what people forget is, on stage, she's got a great timing and a great sense of humour. And there's a lot riding on it. But the big problem you're going to have...
Come
now,
on.
This is really interesting. And ladies and gentlemen, this really is interesting. This lady knows what she wants on stage. And that's why I love her. I mean, she's had standing ovations. I've watched her grow from a little girl. I've seen her talent grow. So I've seen her at her best. I've never, ever seen her bad. Ever, ever. But now, putting your other hat on as a writer, you're going to have to take criticism
yeah.
and direction. And you're going to have to say, no, they don't like that gag, Leanne.
Yeah.
And you've been in the position. How are you going to cope with that?
Oh, do you know what? I think because I'm so new to it, Pete, I'll welcome it. I think maybe when you've been writing for many years and you become, you know, you've crafted it and you know exactly what you want. At the minute, where I'm sat, I'm welcome. Because I've sat on just me and my dad. He's my chief editor. So I print things out and I go to my dad, read that with me. You read all the other parts. I'll be me and we'll see how it flows. And that's the only person I've had input from. So to get input from the likes of Kevin Fearon at the Court or our director or producer, whoever steps in, or the rest of the cast, if they stand up and go, you know, what about if we change that to this? I'll welcome it. I will welcome it, I think. Saying that now, I don't know what I'll do.
But you will dig your heels in if you believe in it.
But if I think, this is going to be such a moment in the play, I'll probably... There are a couple of moments that are untouchable. They've got to be in there. There are some really lovely, heartwarming bits in it. The few and far between, because the rest of it's just belly laughs. But there are little moments that I've bonded with that I think, I hope nothing gets changed in rehearsals.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Leanne Campbell with Pete Price. And we're talking about her new adventure, Pete Price is Dead. See, I've said it. I've just got sick.
It gets easier the more you say it. Pete Price is dead. Pete Price is dead.
For
Pete
you,
Price.
But not for me.
Dead. Say it to someone and just see how they react. That's your homework if you're listening.
Do you
right
know
now.
I was on stage once in Scotland and somebody came up seriously with a tape measure and I said, what are you doing? He said, well, you're dying. I'm measuring you for a coffin. Seriously.
That's a good one, isn't it?
But it was scary.
So obviously I know the beginning, the middle and the end and the ins and outs of the script. You don't really know. You haven't seen the script yet, have
nope.
you?
No.
That for me, as a friend of yours, that does, it makes me feel lovely because I think you trust me and you know, you're stepping back and you let me do my thing and you know it's going to be suitable for you. It's not going to be offensive or anything like that. But to not know the script and people are already buying tickets, they're flying out.
Oh, absolutely.
That must scare the life out of you.
Yeah, it's weird. The only thing I do know, which I'm relieved about, apparently there's some really bad scenes as I get thrown everywhere, but apparently there's a dummy for that.
Yeah.
So I am playing the corpse. Somebody said to me in the street, so what are you playing? I went, you fool, the corpse, me? Me?
Yeah, there's a moment in Act Two that I think everyone's going to like... I expect the whole crowd to give it one of those. That's a good moment.
Do you know the only thing that bothers me?
Go on.
I thought about
Go
it the
on,
other
Pete.
Day. Well, you know I have terrible problems with my chest.
Yes.
I have visions of me lying there dead going, I've got a cough. What do I do? And I said, but I thought, I started to make me laugh. Sorry, Leanne, I know I'm dead, but I've got a cough.
Jesus, Pete. There are points where I've, you know, purposely gone, right, we can't do that with them. That's where we'll put a dummy in. But for a lot of it, it is going to be your body.
What?
We are going to do things to you that I don't think anyone's ever done to you.
I won't say what you're going to do, but there's one thing you told me, which hysterically
That'll
funny.
That'll be a good move.
That was hysterically funny.
I think this is where the panto side comes into it. It's like you get to a certain age, and obviously I was... growing up in theatre. I started performing and touring from when I was like 9. And I took up a residency at the Playhouse for 4 months when I was 10. So stage is where I love to be. And whilst you're performing, you pick up all the backstage stuff. You're working with different producers, different directors, even light and set, all that kind of thing. You can't help but pick up some tips along the way. So when I'm writing this, I'm thinking, you know, how's that going to work technically? What we've come up with, which I can't wait for you to see, Pete, are the plans for the stage. So we're talking, because the tower used to revolve when it was a restaurant, we've budgeted in a whole revolving set.
And, of course, they've got a revolved stage at the Royal Court, which they found.
Yes.
Not so long ago.
I know. The only thing I haven't had past is you flying. And I haven't even mentioned that to you. But I don't know how you feel about flying. If we put you on those invisible strings and hoist you up into the gallery, I can tell by your face that might be a thing. I'll work on that. I'm going to work on that and see if we can have people.
Having said that, Scylla did it in 2008 when she started the show flying. And I always remember looking up going, "You all right?" And the abuse I used to get was terrible.
But was she on a ring?
No, she came down. The first year, she came down. And the cloak came out. It was the whole size of the stage.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. But she was up there for about 20 minutes. I'm not good with heights.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep you like mid-range. Try it at the end of the show.
I've never flown in my life.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about all these little bits, all the nitty-gritty over a cup of coffee. And we'll do a second podcast. Because once we know that we can talk about the cast, because have you heard cast rumours?
No.
Okay, well.
No, well, we'll leave that.
We'll leave that. We'll do that another time.
But she's talking about flying. I'll expose her for what she really is now.
Go on.
Because she really has upset me. She forgets that a long time ago she did a pantomime herself that she produced, which was Peter Pan. And when I asked for the part as Peter Pan, she screamed, laughed and asked me to leave the room. So I never got it. The only chance I had for flying was with Peter Pan. Said I was too old.
But
all
those panto things, all those things that we've done so many times, all the special effects and things like that, they will be in this. So part of this play, what people say to me, is it a musical? Are the songs in it? There's music in it. There will be singing in it. There will be panto-style gags, bit of slapstick. But the top and bottom of it is it's a Scouse comedy about people you know and an industry that everybody's talking about at the moment.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So if you'd like to see Pete Price die at least 3 times, you need to get your tickets right now.
What are your friends saying about it?
Loving it.
Has anybody been negative at all?
Not one.
Really?
Not one. And people I don't know on social media are messaging me like non-stop. Once I put that flyer up and everyone saw what it was about, they're messaging me just wanting to know, desperate to know what it's actually going to be. But I think it's hard to explain.
Now, the other week it went up on sale and Kevin Fearon told me off the record he was shocked at the take, the actual amount of tickets that went as soon as it went up. How did you feel about that?
That's when the nerves kicked in for me. Before that, it was all like a bit of a game. It's all just been like a hobby. Now, you know, people need wages paying. People are being booked. People are being cast. And it's on for quite a long run. We've got like a good month of it to do. So plenty and plenty of shows to sell out. That's when the fear came in. Not necessarily for the reaction. More so, people need paying. People are signing up to do this. People need paying. I need to sell tickets.
Have you questioned yourself that Kevin was so overwhelmed at the idea? Because when I first went to him about it, he sat with his mouth open and didn't speak for about 20 minutes.
I know.
And then said he wanted to see you desperately. He'd already seen you a couple of times.
Yeah.
He's always wanted you at that theatre in one of his productions. Wow. You're in your production. So were you surprised how he reacted to
it? I was, because I thought it was going to be a hard sell. When I sat down with him, I thought, this is going to be tough, this. You know, this guy has people pitching ideas to him every day of the week and many walk through the door and not many get to put on a show there. So I don't think I actually thought... I thought he might give me some advice on what to do next, to be fair. But I didn't think he would snap it up. He was like, yeah, we're taking this off you. This is going to be ours. And it's ours for a couple of years. So I've sort of put it in his hands now. So yeah, it's I can't take it anywhere else. It's owned by the Royal Court. They're taking full ownership, which makes me feel, one, really grateful, but also makes me feel like if they've got the faith in it, then the least I can do is believe that it's going
to
be great.
Because it's a lot of money to put on a production like that,
exactly,
with the building, the set and everything else. And as I say, jobs are there, you know, people need their wages paying. I think it's amazing. I think it's exciting. I can't believe when you think, and people don't understand you and me and people in show business, but when you go and do the Empire and see your poster outside, you go, that's me at the Empire. When you see yourself at the Royal Court, that's me. But you're seeing a new poster written by Leanne Campbell, P. Price is dead.
All blame's on me. All blame is on me. That's the scary bit. If people walk out and go, it's like, oh, Leanne, what's she thinking? But then on the other hand, you can't think like that. And I've seen the script. I've been writing it for months and months and months and months. I can't imagine anyone not laughing in the first 3 seconds. Mm. It starts with a bang, it ends with a bang, and there's a whole lot of banging in the middle.
See, she never told me I was getting shot.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
What is interesting too is people say to me, how do you feel about it? Well, you know, first of all, I've got completely and utterly behind it and will be behind it all the way. But it's not my baby. No. I'm an actor.
You are.
I have a contract. Yeah. I am working with the team and I can walk away from it. No, I can't.
Was there a point where you went, oh, do you know what? This is spiraling out of control, Leah. I need to know more. I need, because you've been so relaxed. People don't know the real Pete Price, you see. You know the Pete Price on the radio and you know what you see on Twitter and this, that and the other. I've known Pete a long, long time. And that's the thing I always say to people. You haven't got a clue who Pete Price is. Because you don't know him. Once you know him, you know a different side. And I don't want to out you as being like a nice kid and person, because it might ruin what you've built up for years. But there aren't many people who would go, yeah, do you know what? Write this about me and I'll leave you to it. Mm. There hasn't been a bit. The Pete Price people think they know would have been, ah, I need to see this script. I need control of this. And you haven't. Mm. Why is that?
It's been a bit difficult. Because at the beginning I was ringing you regularly with ideas.
Not as much as I thought.
No, but I then thought to myself, it's not my baby, it's your baby. Mm. And I admire and respect you anyway. And I think you have a wicked sense of humour. But when it's written, then hopefully I'll be allowed to put some input into it and say, well, you know, I wouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah.
And I know you know I won't always be right, but you'll say he's right on that.
Yes, of course.
Because it's me.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, and you go, oh, yeah, never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's the way you would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but you know yourself, Leanne. You, and I won't mention names, you saved a play recently, you and the cast, as people don't understand. They get a script, but when you go on and work your magic as a group of actors with a director and a producer, it changes from what it was.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm totally open to, because the cast that we've got penciled in, some signed, some not at the moment, put them all on stage together with the script I've got. Yeah. It's going to be, they'll set it alight. They really will. It's going to be amazing. I honestly believe this is going to be a show that people are going to book to come and see more than once.
Well, that's interesting. And also, Kevin has said that he wants this with you for a few years because he feels it's one of those you can bring out and put in again and again, which they've done with some of the productions at the Royal Court.
That's
and they've got their own audience. And by the way, I'll say it now, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying it, and positive he won't mind me saying it. I was talking to Mrs. Brown, Brendan O'Carroll.
Oh, yeah.
Who started the Royal Court, if you think of it, when he had Mrs. Brown's boys at the beginning of the Royal Court. That's when it happened for him.
Yeah,
that's
on
when
stage.
It exploded.
Yeah.
I told him the idea. He lives in America now, part of the year when he does all his writing. And he said, quote, Brendan O'Carroll, Mrs. Brown, wow, comedy genius.
Wow. Oh, well, there you go. So I shouldn't doubt myself for 1 minute now.
I think that's amazing.
The seal of approval.
Just on the title and the description.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm describing it as is totally different to what you told me. It is changing all the time.
So
my column in the Echo is different to what she's just said.
When can we get your column? When's it go? Because it goes online as well, doesn't it?
It's going to be online. So I'll let you all know when it's out.
Okay, so you'll tweet it out so everyone can look at his column.
Yeah,
keep up to date with all the gossip, what's going on. We'll do another podcast or another chat when we're in rehearsals, maybe, or with cast news. We'll keep you updated.
That'd be fabulous. And I love the fact that, and Leanne said this on her social media, and I think it's a great idea. What a fabulous Christmas present for somebody.
Oh, honestly.
I really do like that. Because it's difficult to buy for people.
Yeah.
And do you know what I love about the Royal Court? And I'll give them a big plug now, because this I absolutely love. I love going there at 7, having dinner, the food is fantastic.
I keep raving
having
about it, yeah.
Having your pudding mm-hmm. or your cheese and biscuits in the interval.
Yeah.
I think it's the great... Meet the cast afterwards
yeah.
and then go home. You don't want to go out anywhere else. It's a perfect night at the Royal Court.
Yeah. No walking around, no looking for taxis to get one side of town to the other. You're just in there with us, big party, all night, loads of laughs, good food, nice little drink, and all the people that you love around you. It's going to be a night that you cannot miss. So if you can get your tickets right now, they start at just £14. You can buy them online or just call up the Royal Court. So search them out now, get yours, because I've got a feeling they're going to sell fast.
That's Leanne Campbell, the writer. I am playing the corpse. I'm Pete Price. And the play is called...
Pete Price is Dead.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.